Thank you very much, Ray. And my apologies to folk at home. My mic was muted. It's my first time back for a while. Now, you guys are in trouble because I haven't preached for 3 weeks. So I hope you have no plans for the rest of the day. The 10 o'clock service will just come in and join us, and we'll take off and be fine. I do appreciate those who sit up closer to the front, because as I was watching online last week, there were a couple of brave souls up front, and that's all you can see on the camera is the front. So I do want them to know at home, there are people here with me, and as well as the folk there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 this morning. This little article was written by Martin Clapper from Longmont, Colorado. He writes, "My parents at the height of the Depression were forced to go on welfare. It was 1935. I was 10 years old. We lived on a first floor of a walk-up apartment on 43rd Street in Brooklyn, New York. A few days before Christmas, I looked out the kitchen window to see my dad sitting on the stoop, dejected and depressed, tears in his eyes. The mailman came by and asked my father what was wrong. I heard my father say that he had used up his food vouchers and that the rent was past due. He had tried to work as a laborer through the Works Progress Administration, but he wasn't very strong and the work had been too hard for him. I was scared. I saw pictures in the newspaper of people being put out on the street. Ike, how much do you need?" the mailman asked. My dad said he needed $33 for rent. Without hesitation, the mailman took out $50 from his wallet and handed it to my father. My dad said, "I don't know when I'll be able to pay you back." The mailman put an arm around my father and said, "It'll be okay. It'll be okay if you pay me back, and it'll be okay if you don't." The mailman noticed me looking through the window and said, "Isaac, things will not always be this way forever. If you or your son will remember this day, there will be times in the future when someone needs your help. Help them within your means and tell them what happened today. This will be my payback. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah." As long as he lived, my father helped others when he could, and I've done my best to do my part to pay his generosity back as well. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Father, we humble ourselves before you today. There are many things this year that have reminded us we need you, and we're so thankful we have you. Lord, polish our Christmas. Clean up our view of what this is all about. Through the words of Isaiah, bring it fresh, bring it new to each one of our hearts. And we'll thank you for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah does a wonderful job of placing the joy of the revelation of God's Son in verdant metaphors. What's it like for the Son of God to come into the world? Well, he tells us in some very vivid word pictures. And the first one that he uses is the breaking of light. Light shining into a dark existence. When I was a boy, I was afraid of the dark. And whenever we would go to visit relatives for a couple of days, I remember I would huddle up close to my dad, and I would look for any ray of light that I could find inside or out, and I would just hold on for morning to come. When I went off to college, no longer afraid of the dark, we would drive all day, all through the night, and on into the next day. And I remember those long hours through the night. My mom would pack me a big bag of food, and I'd have several cans of pop there. And somewhere around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I'd start stuffing myself. I wasn't hungry, but it was something to keep myself, trying to keep myself awake, and just eat everything in the bag and drink the pop and roll the window down and stick your head out for a little while, all that kind of stuff. And then finally, the sun would come up. And something magical would happen. the eyes would be okay again, and it felt all right. First day of deer, making your way out into the woods an hour before sunrise, hoping you landed in the right place. Oh, it would be so cold. Those were the longest hours of my life, sitting there thinking, feeling the chill. It starts into your fingers. It starts creeping up your toes. It's nipping at your ears. You've got every piece of clothing that you own on, but still it begins to sink down into your soul. You check your watch. Yeah, I've been out here 15 minutes already. And you swear to yourself, I'm never doing this to myself again. How foolish, sitting out here in the dark and the cold. But then the sun would rise and you'd begin to live again. And next year, that time, you find yourself out in the woods an hour before dawn. We have more than a few insomniacs with us, I'm sure. No doubt you have said, along with Job, I can't wait for the morning to come all through the night. Seeing the sun, feeling its warmth, flavors our world like nothing else can. Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do. It's all right. Here comes the sun. Jesus coming to earth is like the sun shining into a dark place for the very first time. Can you imagine experiencing light for the first time in your life? It was cold. It was lonely. You felt the danger. Now you feel warm, connected, safe. Things that scared you in the dark are now clear and evident, and you can laugh at them. This is Christmas. No wonder we light everything up at Christmas time. We put the lights on the tree. We go all the way down the street. Rockefeller Center, Rockefeller Square, all lit. And by the way, whoever was responsible for decorating the church, I thought, did a wonderful job this year. God bless all of you who came out and helped with that. This is Christmas, lighting it up. He is the light of the world, and he lights up our souls. He lights us up. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. I hope that you have felt that warmth of Christ. Do you remember when you got saved and how you felt? I remember the sky being bluer and everything being more beautiful and even music being sweeter than ever before. The words of the hymns made sense. Everything struck home. Have you had that experience? It's why he came. If he hasn't been born into your heart, today you can have that experience. You can go away different. You can ask the Lord, is he preaching the truth? Is this true? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Am I to have an experience, a relationship with this God of mine? Yes. This is a dark season, I'm sure you'll agree. AARP did a study back in October. This was their conclusion. Pandemic-induced loneliness has become its own public health crisis. Two-thirds of U.S. adults, think of that, two-thirds, that's over half, that's a bunch, two-thirds, the majority of adults in America experience isolation. And 66%, that's another way of saying two-thirds, 66% report rising anxiety levels. Everybody seem a little more stressed to you? Rising anxiety levels. In fact, experts fear that the health risk of prolonged isolation may be worse for you than obesity, and equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. 37% of respondents, that's about a little better than a third, reported depression. 41% reported clinical anxiety. That's serious stuff. Despite all this, only 11% have looked for professional help. Only 11% of those who are suffering significantly have asked for any help. Why is that? And I'll bet that it's even a higher percentage that don't look for help among us rednecks. Why don't we get help? Oh, we're tough. We can do this. We're going to see this through. We don't want anybody to think ill of us. And what will they think if they find out I'm depressed or I have anxiety issues? I'll tell you what I think of you. I think you're normal. Problem is that many of us lose our battle. And even if we survive, we've stressed out everybody around us. In the process, anxiety is contagious. You get an anxious guy in the room, the rest of the family is going to feel it big time, the rest of the workers in that circle. I had a brother-in-law. His foot would just always be going, you know, and you wanted to run over there and hold it still. Easy boy. And it wasn't his fault. He just, you know, was one of the ways he coped, I guess. Depression and or anxiety can hit anyone at any time of life. You could have the life that you always dreamed of having. You can be a born-again, spirit-filled believer, and it does not prevent you from having a season in your life. Biblical examples. Moses, he said to God, Lord, if you're pleased with me and it's all good, take me home now. Now, later in life, he said, could I stay around a little bit longer and watch us conquer this land? And God said, no, it's time for go home. But he had a season in his life. Elijah coming down off the mountain, great victory, fire falling from heaven, consuming the sacrifice. Within a day or two of that experience, he said, oh God, take me home. I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather be dead. Job had, oh my, he said, I'd rather not been born. Curse the guy who brought the news to my dad. You got a son. May that day disappear off the calendar. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time, to read his works stirs your spirit, stirs your soul. He lived in depression. He just coped with it through the word of God and through his faith. He inspired so many other people, but he himself was dragging through this life. Depression and or anxiety, they're not the same. I used to think they were, but they're two completely different animals. And some people struggle with both of them at the same time. Depression is defined as pent-up anger. There's a low burn going on inside. There's a not fairness to life. There's feeling cheated, like nothing good is ever going to happen. A sad effect comes along with that pent-up anger. And it's just, we'll never see the light of day again. It's just everything stinks and then it gets worse. Anxiety is fear. Anxiety is fear. And a lot of times when people are anxious or depressed, you try to find a reason for it. And you often pin the tail on the wrong donkey. It must be somebody's fault. It must be because this happened. And it could even just be a chemical or a physical thing that's going on. But sometimes you cause a lot of harm to yourself and to others trying to figure out why you got this fear going on inside. And of course, with everything that's happened this year in our society between COVID and the election and everything else going on, anxiety, fear. And the news agencies and the media just want to heighten that. And then you probably have dear friends that are on your social feed that feed you every scary thing that they can come up with all of the time. And if you're an insomniac like my wife and you're checking your media in the middle of the night, hey, look at this. I don't care, dear. I'm going to sleep. How can you sleep when it? Exactly. Shut up, dear. We're not helping each other. Like I said, anxiety is contagious. And my wife doesn't do that to me. I'm just hyperbole, and I'm making up for it now so I can go home after the service. And poor girl suffers a lot. Depression and or anxiety. So if you're experiencing either one or both, the first step in getting through it and past it is to confess it. Name it. That all the experts will agree. To name it. You know what? I'm just not feeling very well. I'm down. If you can't say the word depressed, I'm down. I just feel like I'm bottoming out right now. I'm unnerved. I can't settle. I just don't feel right. Name it. I'm feeling anxious. The second step is to take that right to God. Lord, you know where I'm at. Don't try to hide. A lot of people try to put on a mask before God. How stupid is that? He knows how you're feeling. We try to deny it. We don't think it's Christian. We don't think it's spiritual or whatever. We look around and we say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Yeah, I got a lot of blessings. Donnie Siebold used to sing a song, Lord, I hope this day is good. I'm feeling lonely and misunderstood. I should be thankful, Lord. I know I should. But Lord, I hope this day is good. That's just honest, isn't it? And you can do that with God. You should do that with your spouse. You should do that with and maybe you need to do that with a counselor too, or a pastor or somebody that you can just, you know what? I just need to talk to somebody right now. That can really be helpful at times. Last Christmas, you may have been surrounded by friends and family. And this Christmas, there may be some glaring holes where loved ones used to be. And it's difficult. Life isn't fair. Hallelujah, there's the message for today. Life isn't fair. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Life isn't fair both in good ways and in bad ways. Life has a way of surprising us. Surprise. Hasn't 2020 been a surprise? Did anybody guess? No. The phone can ring and everything can change. It was just a couple weeks ago, I was in the kitchen with my grandkids. And my phone rang and I picked up. It was my sister Joy. She said, this is the phone call I never wanted to make. She said, Joel, Dad just passed away. And little Parker, he's 6 years old, and Hannah, she's four. If you ask Hannah, she'll say, I'm four. I'll be four all week long, she says. Four all week long. And as I was talking to Joy, Parker pushed his food away, and he put his head right down on the island there. And I finished talking to Joy, and I said, buddy, are you okay? And little Hannah's the one that said, he's sad about Grandpa. I mean, I didn't connect the dots. You know, I thought, he's 6 years old. Does he even understand? But he and my dad had a special connection. Josh and he would run out, and for whatever reason, they came up with Tonka. That was their greeting. My dad would say, as soon as he saw Parker, Tonka. And Parker would echo back, Tonka. And their sense of humor was just, Josh said he always marveled at, you know, my dad would say a lot of things that people didn't pick up on. But Parker just was right there with him all the time. And And they just had this special connection. And I look over at Parker. He's got his head down. And then he went out into the gym. And I went to go after him. And Hannah, 4 years old, says, he just needs to be alone for a minute. Isn't that amazing? That, you know, she was fine and everything, but she just knew what was going on. So we let him have a little bit of time, and then we made our way out there. You may have some glaring holes in your family this holiday season. It's okay. This happens at funerals all the time. We cry some, and we laugh some. And then we cry a little bit more, and then we laugh a little bit more. And sometimes we're laughing and crying at the same time. That's completely normal. And it's okay if during your holiday season, you look at the grandchildren and you laugh and you look at the pictures of loved ones and you cry a little. I think one of the reasons we're so anxious and depressed is we're constipated emotionally. We're so busy, we just don't take time to process things. And they need processed. And holidays slow down a little bit, and you're not maybe going to work as much and so on. And it's okay. It's okay to be hurt, to be angry, to be disappointed. In fact, when I find that I allow those emotions in my life and talk them over with the Lord, He brings me back to life again. He is the light that comes in. I didn't mean to say all that, but like I said, I haven't preached for 3 weeks. So Jesus is still the light of the world. Do you need some light today? He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Tell him what you need. Just tell him. Tell him how you feel. And he'll help. He'll be with you through the valley. He'll bring you through to green pastures and still waters. Remember the words of the mailman. Things won't always be this way. They'll get better. Verse 3, Isaiah goes on to say, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Two joyful, common experiences for people in the centuries leading up to the birth of Christ were harvest and plunder. Harvest, our farmers will understand the harvest end of that a lot better than us shoppers, us grocery store people. But harvest was the time of year when there was plenty. Until harvest, you were living on last year's stores. You were eating whatever was left in the larder, which was whatever people didn't really like. It was sort of like at Halloween, kids to collect all their candy. Oh, come the 1st of November, there's only candy corn left. But it's candy. Okay, we'll eat it. You know, you're down to whatever was left over from last year, but now there's harvest, and it's all fresh. And it's abundant. You know, for a while now, mom and dad, now be careful. We got to make that last. But not at harvest time. It was have at it. And so you'd have a festival and a whole town would celebrate. And everybody would pull together and you'd have these great festivals together. Joyful consumption at harvest. And then there's plunder. And then there's plunder. Plunder was the reward for having won a battle. There was war, killing, fear, courage, danger, risk, loss. And to the victor goes the spoils. And when you won, you raided the enemy's camp or you raided their city and you took home gold and silver and clothes and slaves and you had greater territory. Talk about a turnaround. There was war and then there was plunder. In the morning, you didn't know if you were going to survive. You didn't know what was going to happen to your family. You got killed in battle. The enemy got your family. They took them home. Everybody was scared. Everybody was praying. But then there's victory. And there's plunder. And everybody's watching on the horizon to see if the troops will come back home. Will they be running? Will they be scattered? Or will they be marching? Will they be singing? Will they be bringing all of the spoils of victory along with them? In the evening, eating like a king. Suddenly wealthier than you'd ever been in your life. So these are the word pictures that Isaiah brings to us that says this is what the Son of God coming to earth is like. It's like it was dark and then the sun dawned for the very first time. It's like you worked all summer long in the fields and the heat of the day and you wondered, is this even worth it? And the stores of food are getting less and less and they're getting older and older and you're just trying to survive. And then harvest. Hallelujah. There was war, fear, anxiety. But then there was victory and freedom and plunder. This is what it's like for the Son of God to come to earth. Oh, sometimes we get used to it. Sometimes it becomes old to us. Shame on us. A light has dawned on the world. When Jesus came, and he's still lighting up our lives now. He'll meet you where you are and help you. How many could raise a hand and testify, Pastor, I've been there. I've been in dark places and God has met me there. He has been my sustenance and my revival. My King, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Isaiah goes on. The glory of God coming to live with us cannot be overstated. Light, harvest, plunder. Isaiah goes on in verse 4 to say, for as in the day of Midian's defeat. You remember Midian? Midianites came in and took over all of Israel. It says that, you know, they trampled everything and ate everything. Gideon was the hero at the time. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Israel had been oppressed by the Midianites for decades. They every year they would come in and take all their harvest off of them. And it would be another winter of severe survival for everybody, scratching to get by. That went on year after year. This has been a long year. Imagine a long decade. Every year they came in and they just took everything and took everything and took everything. And Isaiah says, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you remember how good that felt? They're not coming back. Our crops are our crops. They plundered the Midianite camp. They kept their camels. They kept their livestock. It got turned around. He says, it was that great victory. Christ coming is even greater than that. God called Gideon to lead Israel in a great lopsided battle. The Israelites were few and poorly armed. The Midianites were many and well-armed. They won their freedom. They vanquished the enemy from their territory and reestablished their independence. We might liken it to the victory over the British in the War of Independence. A couple of farmers, poorly armed, got together. They pledged their sacred honor and their lives and all they owned on this desperate search for freedom. We celebrate it the 4th of July every year. We remember it and we should. A great victory. What about World War II? Some of you are old enough to remember what it was like when Johnny came marching home again. And when the victory was, when the anxiety and the fear was lifted. We're not going to be invaded. We're going to be able to turn this thing around. They're not going to control the world. Throw off that yoke of bondage and that stress. What a great victory. We see the pictures of that sailor kissing that nurse in Times Square and the confetti coming down and the great parades, and how that needs to be remembered. Being stressed is a wonderful prelude to experiencing freedom in Christ. It's almost worth a war to relish the joy of victory. Almost. Almost. I was sick for a couple weeks. That's as sick as I've ever been in my life. And a couple of things. I had to go to the doctor to get a blood pressure check. And she said to me, "You're out of quarantine." I went from a 7 to a 9 just with hearing those words, "You're done." And I really felt good on Monday. On Tuesday, I didn't feel good. I felt great. I mean, I woke up 3:30 in the morning staring at the ceiling saying, "Gee, the gyms aren't open. What am I going to do?" Normal people don't get up at 3:30. But I felt like I could right up through the roof. I didn't know normal felt so great. Everybody ought to have COVID for a couple of weeks just so you know how wonderful life feels when you feel okay. Okay is great. It's wonderful. It's almost worth a war to relish the joy of victory. And I think God allows those seasons in our life just so when we get back to normal, we don't go back to our normal, old, complaining, grumbling self. We come back as a person that, wow. You know, I drink almost, water is about the only thing I drink. I drink a lot of water. But when I had that COVID thing, I had a metal taste in my mouth. I couldn't drink water, so fruit juice. I drank a lot of fruit juice. Boy, do I like water again. Thank God for water. Hallelujah. You know? Normal stuff is just amazing. I could understand David saying, "I could run through a troop and leap over a wall." Hallelujah. Yeah, he must have had COVID back then, and then he had that experience. Verse 5 talks about burning all of your military uniforms and clothing stained with, but you won't need them anymore. We're not going to war any longer. So roll the joy of light, harvest, plunder, freedom, and victory all together, and you begin to approach Isaiah's excitement over this one event that would happen in Israel's history. What event is that? Well, he tells us in verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We have come to know it as Christmas. Merry Christmas. No ordinary child. Emmanuel. God with us, come to deliver us from our sin. What he has accomplished is utterly miraculous, but what he is yet to do is even better. Did you catch those words? The government will be on his shoulders. Of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. How many know the government is not yet in his hands? Amen. This is not his government. He's blessed us and on, you know. But you'll know it when Christ sits on the throne. You'll know it when the government is on his shoulders. Catch some of those things. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Not just because they say, well, you better say that to him. No, you'll think that, wow, God is such a wonderful counselor. I had a problem and look what he did. Mighty God. Woo-hoo! He conquered all of our enemies. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can you imagine them saying that about any president we've ever had? Both sides, I mean. Huh? Oh, he's going to be a leader. He's going to be a ruler. He's going to be a king like no other. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 What a day that will be. He's coming back for those who believe in him. Just a few more weary days. And then I was able to talk to my... I know I made fun of her today. But I had such empathy for my wife while I was sick. I thought, oh, you poor souls who have to suffer constantly with chronic pain and ill, that is so sad. But I said, Peach, the day is coming soon when all that's going to be gone. You're going to take off like a rocket ship. You're going to feel great. You're going to run through a troop and leap over a wall. It won't be long. Hang in there. Jesus is coming, my friend. This is what Isaiah saw it all as one thing. When Jesus comes, all here it's two parts. So when we celebrate Christmas, you and I look back at the first Christmas, and it warms our hearts that God would be born in a manger as a baby and come to live with us and struggle with everything we struggle with. What a great God that is. That warms our hearts. But please, as you celebrate this Christmas, look forward to the next one. He's coming again. And the government will be on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get overly concerned about whatever. Pray, fast, you know, give it your all. But don't become overly. This isn't our world. This isn't our land. We're just here for a little while. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the king. Very soon, we're going home. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his returning. It may be morn. It may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. I remember as a child laying my head against my dad's belly as he would sing the hymns. They sounded different down there in his belly. They kind of rumbled. I loved that sound. And I remember my parents standing in church singing that song. He's coming soon. How much closer are we today than we were then? I tell you what, my friends, I think this is the most special Christmas I've ever had. The most special Christmas. I appreciate so many things more than I did before. It's going to be so beautiful. Be warmed by what he did. Be encouraged by what he's about to do. Would you stand with me this morning? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.